Here we go live.
Blog Talk Radio.
I'm a part of the fellowship of the unashamed. I have Holy Spirit power. I've stepped over the line. The decision has been made. I'm a disciple of His. I won't look back, let up, slow down, back away, or be still. My past redeemed, my present makes sense, my future is secure. I'm finished and done with low living, sight walking, small planning, smooth knees, colorless dreams, tame vision, worldly talking, cheap giving, and dwarf goals. I no longer need preeminence, position, promotion, applause, or popularity. I don't have to be right first, tops, recognized, praise, regarded or rewarded. I now live by faith, lean on His presence, walk by patience. I am uplifted by prayer and labor empowered. My face is set, my grade is fast, my goal is heaven. My road is narrow, my way is rough. My companions are few, my God reliable, my mission is clear. I cannot be fucked, compromised, detoured, lured away, turned back, deluded or delayed. I will not flinch in the face of sacrifice, hesitate in the presence of my adversaries, negotiate at the table of my enemy or ponder at the pool of popularity. Give up, set up, let up until I've stayed up, bored up, prayed up, preached up for the cause of Christ. I am a disciple of Jesus.
Are now going live to Facebook. Good evening, Blog Talk Radio. Good evening, Facebook Live. Good to have you with us today. Radio. Sounds like I got a notification. I did.
You did, and there you are.
Isn't that something?
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening, good evening, good evening, good evening, good evening.
Oh, my goodness sake. Took myself right out of everything.
Don't you hate it when they have that stray thumb or finger, and it's like, no, you just did not do. You did not just do that. Really?
And there's not even anyone close enough to blame it on.
I mean, like, really. So, welcome, welcome, welcome.
Welcome, welcome.
Send out a few notifications here. Take a look and see what we got. Now, as I'm sending these out tonight,
oh my goodness sake, where did you go? There you are.
Unavailable text.
To who?
Just keep clicking it and see if it will open. Probably to, probably to everybody, I would imagine.
Hmm.
Isn't that something? And they took away my notification. Oh, the fun we're learning. So those of you that's doing your best to get with us on Facebook Live, then welcome, welcome, welcome. We're glad to have you with us today. Oh, there I am, clear down at the bottom. Keep clicking it and let me know if it works. For those of you in the live viewing audience, we would appreciate if you would silence your electronic devices effectively. Mm-hmm. So we have no unnecessary interruptions. Audrey Van Gessel got hers. Did it open up?
Hi, Audrey. Oh. Happy you're here.
Well, I just want everybody to know that I've done a good job at inviting all y'all for being here.
Whether it seems that way or not.
When I re-click the one I send you, it opens up for me. But that doesn't necessarily mean anything.
Oh, Audrey said you always do an excellent job. Don't avoid me. So who's didn't open up? Oh, Rebecca?
Rebecca or Mary's.
Or Mary's, huh?
But they're all saying the same thing.
Well, yesterday, that's how mine were sending too, apparently. And people came to hang out and said, Audrey. And I went back and checked a couple of them. And yeah, it was just like an empty something there saying that we were here.
Really?
Yeah. But now the ones that I sent to the other ones that had like Happy Tuesday on top and something else, it actually printed the whole link. Okay, here's to Felicia. Yeah, and that one opened. Got me to put the Zoom link now.
Put the Zoom link in there, yeah.
Yeah, if you put text before it and after it, it will print the whole link. But for some reason, it's...
If you do what?
If you put text before and after the link, it will send it like that. My goodness.
If I put text before and after, I just want everybody to know that Sister Leanne has now stumped me right on the screen. Well, Roger's been in Facebook jail too, and he still gets on, so.
Afraid of him now.
Anyways, Sister Audrey, Sister Rebecca, welcome. Good to have you guys with us tonight.
Good to have you with us. Oh my goodness. Because we have seven someone's here and I don't see them all.
Seven? Seven where?
PA 1 point for the woman on Facebook.
7?
Yes, sir.
You don't look like a stump.
Oh, my goodness. Audrey Dan, yellow belt. Sally. Hi, Sally.
Sally Rice is with us.
I am so glad you're here.
Oh, it's so good to see you, Sally.
How are you? Healed and healthy and happy and whole.
Amen, 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 and amen.
Hi, Phyllis. Love you. Let's see. Okay. It said in availability, but clicked on the link and it opened, but the other said unavailable and disappeared. Oh. That's Mary and family connection.
This is something. It's just really wrong.
I'm gonna go watch it. Okay. Well, the Zoom link is right above you, Mary, too, if you want to grab that and come in instead of Facebook. There she is. God bless you, Phyllis, too. We love you. We so missed you while you were gone. Everybody did. We kept saying, when is she coming home? No fair, she's held captive on that big boat without us. That's what we need to do. Let's believe God for a community of faith crews. Wouldn't that be a blast? Oh, my goodness. Love you too, Rebecca. Want to go on a cruise?
No, no, Phyllis would go on that cruise with us.
Yeah. If we had the hog tire instructor on, you're going with us.
I don't know about them ships out there floating around like that. I don't know. Not quite really sure on that situation.
Oh, the ones from China? Well, we could take a
No, I'm just out there on that big cruise deal. Ooh, Jesus, Lord have mercy. Well, it looks like people are showing up. It's good to have you guys. I'm just diligently making things happen here.
Is that our Sunday girl? Yes, it is. Hello.
How are you?
We're fabulous. How are you? Do you have Miss Sophie with you?
Not tonight. She's home with Mommy.
Oh,
Mommy,
okay.
Sammy had sprained her hand at work and went to the doctor's today, so she took today off, and she's home with the little one today.
Oh.
I have her tomorrow.
That sounds fun. We just don't want to ever not say hello to her when she's here. I don't want her to feel like
She makes it a point. She wants to say hi.
I love that.
Very clear. I got to say hi. She sees Sam and right away she's, I got to say hi.
I love that.
Yeah.
Can't you tell Grandma that he needs me to say hi to him?
Yeah, she will. She's a girl. She likes to talk. She's after Grandma, I guess.
Hi, Yellow Bells. We see you here. Phyllis, those ships are so huge that you don't even realize that you are on a floating island. There you go. So you'd be fine.
I'm on a floating island. So that's what it seems like, huh? Well, all right. I'm ready.
It sounds like the perfect COF
adventure. It does sound like the perfect COF adventure. So somebody call a cruise company and get us about 10 days for about $300 a piece.
Okay.
Wait. Jesus said, whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. And we'll have a revival, a 10-day revival right on the cruise ship. And see how many of them cruiseites we can get saved and filled with the Holy Ghost.
Sounds like a plan.
I know that Bill Gaither has a big cruise he does every year. John Hagee has a cruise he does every year.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, then we're doing one.
Amen.
Abundance come now.
No. No, use your faith and let's get one for $300 a piece. Let's go. What's wrong with you guys? Have you ever used your faith for anything?
My folks went on a cruise years ago through the Caribbean, yeah.
You know,
Hi, Roger.
I forget it was. Somebody that cruised a lot told me that they have a lot of people that just live on a cruise ship. It's where they live.
Oh, my word.
Well, I imagine they do, like the chefs and the ones that's where they're...
No, that's just the person.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, she had a little bit of money, and she said, hey, if they stick me in a nursing home, it's going to cost $5,000 a month. I can be on this cruise ship for about $2,800 a month and spend the extra $1,200 in my pocket. And I get clean sheets every day, all the food I want to eat, and a new group of people about every 12 days.
What a great idea.
Never boring. Never boring.
And she rides that one ship for a while, and then she wants to go see another part of the world, and she literally had gone and seen the whole world, and she said, if I die, they'll take care of me.
Wow. Cool thing. I love it. 10 days would probably be about $500 per couple. Is that all, Phyllis? Really?
It's $500 per couple?
Wow.
All right. I don't know which of you have the anointing for it. Roger does. He raised his hand. I have the anointing to get us all on a cruise ship.
That might be dangerous.
Roger will have us cruising on an aircraft carrier somewhere.
Let's see if I can arrange that.
Oh, Lord.
Phil is buried at sea.
I know periodically they seem like people go on cruises.
Say again?
I know they sometimes allow people to go on cruises on carriers.
Oh, really? That'd be a fun one. Maybe. It's good to put on a carrier or what?
Oh, yeah. Food and sea rations.
That'd be a fun trip. All right, well, not sure who the tour guide is, if it's Sister Rebecca because she has experience.
Well, that's true.
Or somebody else that has a lot of time, but we ought to see what we could do. Just don't make it during the hurricane season. Of course, we could go out and we'd take control over the hurricane and it'd die, and then we'd have a gulf that would be open and enjoyable.
Yeah, nothing else would get it but us. We got the umbrella of God.
Amen. Now, Sister Phyllis said it's just a big floating island. Now, I have met some people who were on a cruise ship. And they said the Pacific is much cooler. You actually have to take a warm coat.
Oh, really?
If you're going to be on the Pacific.
Wow.
Now, those in the Gulf, you don't ever hear too many people saying that in the Gulf.
Mm-hmm.
But
right.
I know Mrs. B does a lot of cruising, Mrs. Barkley.
Mm-hmm.
And she said one time that anytime you go to the Pacific, take a coat with you.
Hmm.
So I don't, go ahead, Roger.
I got two things to say. Number one is that I got a friend that keeps on going into the hospital with stomach problems.
All right.
And I guess the company's not paying anymore for her medical expenses.
So what's her name?
Edwards. That's the last name. I don't know how to pronounce the first name. But she thanked me for sending her a lot of scriptures and paintings with scripture involved with it.
Yeah.
Hmm. So.
Did you go see her, Roger?
Nope. Say it again, sister.
Can you go and see her?
Didn't tell me where she was at. Because
okay.
She goes ahead. She spends 14 days in the hospital. Then she goes home. Then she comes back. Then she goes back and forth.
Find that in Jesus' name.
Yeah. Now, I was thinking you could take her a prayer cloth.
Yeah.
And get her to do communion. Is she a believer?
Yeah, but I need some.
Is she a believer?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Have her doing communion 3 times a day.
Yep.
Until this is gone.
Yep. And we bind it right now and say it's gone.
Amen. Amen.
And we say it's got to go and got to stay.
Yeah. Her niece won a cruise for 2 for 5 days at bingo. Oh, my goodness.
That's gambling.
Yeah. That's true. It is.
Not supposed to do that.
Oh, my goodness. You know, Roger, you said that like you said that very religious. That's gambling. I was really good. You did a good job with that. That's gambling.
Before I went to bed, I lived in Las Vegas. I fell into that sin of gambling. Out of the 4 years I was there, I won $140.
Wow.
I'm thinking, I'm spending $150 3 times a week, and I'm not getting no return. I said, what am I, stupid? I never went back again.
Because you ain't stupid. Your mama didn't raise no knucklehead, not even your brothers.
Let me know when that package comes
right.
In, and maybe open it on the program so I can see your expression on your face.
Now wait. Is it gonna like blow stuff all over me? Do I have to have like goggles and stuff on?
No, you can't say that. That's one of the words that they watch out for.
Oh.
Because I got in trouble for going ahead and saying. Cocoa Bomb.
Well,
a marshmallow covered in chocolate. You put it in hot milk and it foams up. Then you got your hot chocolate and marshmallows.
Now,
I said that on Facebook.
We need to find out what everybody had for supper. So start typing it in quickly because we got to find out what was for supper.
Yeah, it's important for us to know.
I don't see Sister Felicia or Sister Rebecca Odell. Somebody else might want to try to send them a notification. I haven't seen Brother Al in a while. Somebody send him one. I know Al was busy doing some things. But just look around. Let's do a little house cleaning of those that would normally be here. And you just take it on yourself to click the share button and invite them because, you know,
We don't want them to
feel left out. And I usually send a notification, but everybody's telling me that tonight it says it's blank for whatever reason. Yeah, go ahead, Roger.
Does Golden Corral constitute dinner?
Golden Corral constitutes dinner, supper, lunch, and breakfast, depending on where you are.
I had pot roast, steak. Chicken, potatoes,
Woo!
Coffee, and apple pie.
Yum.
With vanilla ice cream on it.
Did you get a bellyache?
Well, there it
says
a bunch.
No, I didn't eat that much. No, I just had a little portion.
A little of this, a little of that. Oh, okay.
Rebecca
right.
had porterhouse.
Porterhouse wow. steak at Rebecca's house tonight.
Woo! Nice.
T-bone's better.
Brother Dan, Sister Gwen, always like this. Brother Dan's home for a while.
Oh, is he?
Yeah. Always
Dan,
like that.
Dan makes amazing stuff, too.
We always get to hear from Chef Gwendolyn.
Is that Mary here?
I don't know if that's her name or not. Is that your name, Gwen?
Sunday had chicken tenders. Yum.
Look at...
What did you have, Mary?
Look at Phyllis. Omelet, avocados, and blueberries.
Wow, that sounds good. What kind of omelet?
Wow! An avocado omelet.
Yum.
That would be amazing.
Mm-hmm. And how is everybody's weather? And did you all do anything fun today?
Spaghetti.
Oh, spaghetti.
For Mary Pastorek.
This old stomach can't take that.
Well, we call it healed in Jesus' name, so it can.
I like spaghetti, but it don't like me.
It's all right. Well, take the noodles out and make it out of barley.
Yeah.
And make barley spaghetti with the sauce and the hamburger, and if you like your tomato chunks and stuff in there, and see how much you like that. I am amazed. We're probably never going to have another macaroni salad, macaroni, nothing. Now that I tasted it with that barley in it, it was absolutely amazing. And not even much of a difference in taste or texture.
Right. It is a little bit denser texture than noodles, but to me, I like it better. Actually.
The avocados were on the side. Well, all right. That's a good place for them.
Can you get the barley noodles at the omelet store?
You might be able to, yeah.
I am really going to have to try that. Yeah, you are, Mary. If you would like it, and it's so much healthier for you.
I was just amazed. Because, you know, all the way back to my mom, tuna noodle casserole was a staple. My mom cooked it. You know, there's a whole bunch of us. There was seven of us kids, so that was an easy meal to slap into a big bucket and make a tuna noodle casserole, you know, with peas and...
See, when I was growing up, it seemed like the only time we had tuna noodle casserole was when you were going to a picnic or,
Now, I want everybody to pray for Brother Dan. I'm not sure what he said. But his comment has been hidden. And he said macaroni and cheese with tuna baked and banana cake.
Yum.
Now, I'm not sure what about that doesn't match the community standards. But some knucklehead in an office somewhere made your computer melt on your table. That is just ridiculous.
It is.
Sign of the times, Pastor.
You know what else is a sign of the times, Brother Roger? Your computer melding on your desk for being a moron. That's a sign of the times.
Not yours, Roger.
Not yours, yeah. The stupid moron doing that ridiculousness.
Pastor has a little bit of an edge.
I'll just remind all of you knuckleheads in the community standard that when you bless us, God blesses you. And when you curse us, God curses
you. Yep, so be aware.
Now, how big a morons are you? There'll be 87 million comments tonight about macaroni and cheese on Facebook, and you're going to hide it on ours.
Yeah.
You're a fool. And may you receive a fool's judgment.
Maybe they're jealous.
Isn't everybody glad to be here tonight?
Yeah. Wow. Mary, I always use the regular barley. It does take like 45 minutes to cook, but a lot of times what I will do with it, because I use them whole grain rice too, that takes like 45 minutes to cook, or lentils or
any
of those
things. My goodness sakes alive.
Or dry beans. I just make up a bunch of them and put them in the freezer so that you just always have them ready.
Yeah, it's good. And we learned a very valuable lesson with the split pea and ham soup.
Oh,
make sure if
yeah.
you put it in jars and put it in the freezer, they leave the lid open a little bit until it expands, because we just did it. And
we had three jars
go.
Yeah, and all of those jars of the vegetable soup that we froze, none of those did that.
That was interesting.
Ripley's food didn't do that. I wonder if it's something with the beans. Do they expand that much more than...
I don't know. Anyways, it's
7:35.
Anyway, it's time to get started. And
I made the police of 1,000 camels invade their arms. Can their arms be too short to scratch? Oh, my goodness, Mary, that's what we stand in agreement. It's hilarious.
Real quick.
Carolyn Foster's with us tonight. Welcome, Carolyn. We're having a good time. Sure hope you're having a blast with us. Maybe you did a casserole instead of baked.
You what?
Dan, maybe we should have said casserole instead of baked.
Oh.
Right?
Yeah, it's hard to pick out what the wrong word was in that statement. It got you in, but watch your mouth. Yeah, casserole might have been
better. I have a really good message tonight we're going to get to here in a little bit, but...
Rebecca. Hi, Rebecca.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes. Yep.
Can you hear me now?
We can hear you.
No, this and that spring.
Supposed to be standing by a donkey somewhere on a mountain when you say that.
Can you hear me now?
All right, well, it's time to get started, whether we can hear you or not, but I sure hope we can hear you. So here we go. Let's kick us all into the different zone here. Everybody hang on. Those of you that are with us in the Zoom, make sure you mute your mic and your camera at this point. And we will get into our confession like we normally do. Thank you for all your fun and enjoyment. Those of you that have joined us over here on Blog Talk Radio, we're glad to have you with us. You know, you're probably going to have to send us a card saying, this is what I had for my meals all week long. And then we'll just read them out loud for everybody to hear. And it'll be a blessing. Now, tonight, we're grateful that South Africa and Nigeria, Ghana, Spain, France, United Kingdom, the Netherlands, Germany, Switzerland, Hungary, Estonia, Switzerland, Sweden, Japan, South Korea, and the Philippines, Canada, and the United States of America are with us tonight. Welcome, 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 welcome. Thanks for kind of being the backbone of the community of faith, because you're always there. And we remind everybody that if you have trouble streaming on Facebook Live because there are a bunch of morons that run the thing, YouTube will be up here in a few minutes. And Blog Talk Radio is going right now. You can listen live. There's not interaction like this on Blog Talk Radio. However, it is a very great platform where you can hear the Word of God and put it right on your phone, carry your phone around with you wherever you go. You're not making comments for everybody to see, but it works when you don't have sufficient Wi-Fi or internet signal.
Yeah.
And that's just as simple as dialing a phone number, and you'll be put right into the hold room. Nobody hear you talking in the background or anything. It's a powerful platform to get you connected to what we do here every night. Tonight, we're going to be talking about part number three. What does God say about God and the Bible say about money? And tonight we're going to be dealing with possessions.
Already then.
The Bible uses the word possessions 39 times. That's quite a number, isn't it?
Yeah.
And
possess the land and take dominion.
And I'm going to bless your possessions is what he said over and over and over. So we're going to talk about it tonight. And we're going to get some balance on. It's going to be a great night. Don't miss tonight. There's a whole mess of stuff going to come out tonight. Not a mess. A wonderful bunch of information and understanding. Whole mess. That's kind of what I grew up saying. Whole bunches. But it's just not quite as an effective way to say whole bunches. Here we go. Rise together with us. We'll make our Pledge of Allegiance. Are you ready? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. And now we'll have a moment of silence as we remember those who are missing in action, those who today bear the scars of combat in their spirit, their soul, and in their body. This moment of silence is in honor of every family of the fallen who will stand somewhere today, in honor of their loved ones' life lived and service rendered. This moment of silence will last for 21 seconds in honor of the 21 rifle volleys fired at the funeral of a fallen soldier. This moment of silence begins now. And now, if you will, join me in singing God Bless America. God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above. From the mountain to the prairie, to the ocean, white with foam. God bless America, my home sweet home. God bless America, my home sweet home. Now, join with us as we say our opening prayer. Remember, these are not prayers written by somebody somewhere in a faraway city. This is a prayer God gave us as a point of agreement. For three of you agrees touching anything, it shall be done by our Father, which is in heaven. Pray this with us. Father, we pray this prayer today as your children, as the body of Christ, as ministers of reconciliation, as ambassadors of the kingdom of heaven, by the power of the Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. We, the community of faith, declare, thank you, Father, that you have filled us with your Holy Spirit. Flow, Holy Spirit, flow with your presence and power in our lives. We receive your guidance through this time of ministry. Believers' lives will be changed forever, and that glory and honor may be brought to your kingdom through our influence today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. The great cloud of witnesses, we join the voices of every great prayer warrior, patriot warrior, passionate patriot of this great nation, and we declare, God bless America. May God bless America. On this day and every day, we proclaim the commanded blessing of the Lord in our lives right now. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for us brethren to dwell together in unity. It is the precious oil running down on the edge of Aaron's garment. It's like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion. There the Lord commands the blessing, life evermore. Say it with me. Put your hands out and just say it. I receive your commanded blessing, Lord, in my life, in Jesus' mighty name, in Jesus' mighty name. And then the Apostle Paul has taught us, and by the direction of the Holy Spirit, we put this in our opening comments for instruction, for revelation, and for a proclamation across this world to all of our brothers and sisters who are in the body of Christ, who we join with their faith tonight. Tonight we join with those in the 1040 window who are being persecuted tonight. Those in prison unjustly. We speak over those that are being persecuted by religions of this world. We speak over our brothers and sisters that are in the path of Russia now. Even their own people, in the Russian people. We declare in the mighty name of Jesus, every one of these verses of scripture on the body of Christ to strengthen them, to establish them. And we add them tonight to the great international network of prayer and faith. Brothers and sisters, be strengthened by our words this evening. There is one body and one spirit, just as we were called in one hope of our calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in us all. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. And this is the result of the oneness with God around the world. And Jesus himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we may be filled with all the fullness of God. And now, as a body, we stand up strong together. Don't you love these verses? So that we will no longer be children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body, for the edifying of itself
in love.
I bring my gift and my supply
to the body of believers today.
Use me to be a blessing to others. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
And amen. Now, the mouse is going to obey, and I'm going to click on my next screen like I want to. And now we pray for the United States of America and for Canada and for our brothers and sisters around the world that wicked regimes are trying to destroy their nation.
Mm-hmm.
We declare revival in our capital.
Amen.
Revival in the executive branch. Revival in the judicial branch. Revival in the legislative branch, in the mighty name of Jesus. May righteousness reign in our national capital. And may the wicked flee from the angels of God who were invited in during President Trump's leadership as president. May that spirit of righteousness cause them to run and hide and flee from the great righteous example of the men and women of God all through history, from the apostles and the prophets that are inscribed in the walls around the building. And may their efforts fall useless who stand against our Constitution, because we the people, in order to form a more perfect union, to establish justice, to ensure domestic tranquility. I like that. Don't you like how that says that?
Mm-hmm.
We established and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Established our great Constitution. Father, may every innocent person run and flee from these wicked people. And may they have no staffers to help them because of their wickedness. We proclaim it right now because righteousness is exalting this nation.
Amen.
Now, pray this with me over our peacemakers and over yourself tonight. Father, help us, the living, to be dedicated to the unfinished work which these fought for and so nobly advanced. Help us be dedicated to the great task that remains before us, that from these honored fallen, we take increased devotion to the cause for which they gave that last full measure of devotion. We highly resolve that these shall not have fallen in vain. We declare this nation under God experiencing a new birth of freedom right here, right now, today.
We declare
this government of the people, by the people, for the people shall not perish from this earth. Long will our land be bright with freedoms. Holy light, protect us, Lord, by thy great might, great God, our King. Forgive us of our sin, Lord, and heal our land. We seek your face. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen and amen and amen.
Amen.
Amen. Everybody who is with us, you know how we function here. And we always have a good time talking at the beginning. Some people, they don't like all that personal stuff. That's okay. Thanks for coming and joining us when you do.
Mm-hmm.
And sharing these videos wherever you're at. You might say, Pastor, I'd like to share the video, but I just don't understand why you guys do all that early stuff. Can you help me edit it? Well, our YouTube video is pretty much just basically the message. at this point. There will come a point where we'll be able to have a whole editing team that as soon as the program is finished, they'll immediately go in and begin to edit it and make it where everybody has what they're looking for. And that just takes, you know, probably about $10,000 worth of equipment and a dedicated staff of people who are actually working for the ministry, making it happen, because that is not a difficult task. It's just an arduous task, if you'll allow me the use of that word. It's a big word, but I like that
word.
It's a good word. It's not difficult. It's just time consuming. And may God help us get it finished. On the note of the YouTube videos, I'm going to put YouTube on right now. Those of you who like to be on YouTube, it is now available. Now, on YouTube, we have the ability to put in timestamps and make it so it makes it more it makes a more enjoyable study. I don't know how what's the right word, Father. Help me get those words. I've stumbled over them a couple of days. A timestamp is a 4-digit, 5-digit number. It'll be blue. And it indicates on the timeline of the video, it indicates the an important point that somebody saw in the message. And I have members of our team, this body of Christ, that are helping us put timestamps in. And it gives you the ability to go to a video that somebody's done, and you'll be able to see their notes and click on a timestamp. It'll take you right there. On most videos of YouTube, where there's a slight amount of talking like this at the beginning, when the program ends, I go in, add the verses for the night, and add the point when the message begins in a timestamp in the notes of the program, just a little helping you understand how it works, and it'll be a blessing to you. I've been following some of the timestamps that this body of believers that are doing that, our timestamp body. And you guys are putting some good comments in. That's awesome. It's awesome to see how it works. And I've noticed the numbers on our videos are going up. Isn't that something? When you got more clicks, then more people stop to look at it.
Yeah.
And I thank you for your help, your diligent help on that.
Thank you.
Every day, that's a powerful thing. And, you know, this year, when we talk about 2022, our theme for the year is 2022, I am rewarding you, the great I am, rewarding you. And then he said, behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me. I love this next statement he gave us. You will see many answers that come to you quickly. I am the God of answers and the God of thee immediately. And our reference through this year is out of Revelation. Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work. Oh, my goodness. Everybody just pause here. There we go. I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the beginning and the end. And there you go. I put that in there for you so you have the ability to see it. And our verse of the month for February is, I am performing the exceedingly. Take your focus off of the naturally.
That's a good word.
And our verse is Ephesians 3:20. Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or according to the power that is working in us. Thank you, Father, for the power that is working in us. And here's the thing. Some of you have never asked God for anything exceedingly. Start now. Well, Pastor, I don't even know what to ask for. Yes, you do. You don't want to be broke, busted, and disgusted? Ask him to bless you. You know, he is your father, and he likes to bless you. And he's the best father in the whole world.
Amen.
But if you're not asking him for anything exceedingly, then how can he do exceedingly abundantly above it? Ask him for some stuff that's big. Well, Pastor, how could I ever do it? You won't. You can't do it. If all you can do, if you can do everything you're asking God for, why do you need God? God does what you and I can't do. We were bound in sin. There ain't nothing nobody can do to get out of sin. Nobody. I don't care what you do. If you don't receive it by faith through grace, you're done. If you don't receive his righteousness, you're going to fight sin your whole life. But if you receive it, it's all over.
Amen.
You can walk around confused, or you can receive the Holy Spirit of God, who is your resident teacher on the inside. See, God wants us asking him for exceedingly, abundantly above what he wants to do. Wow, but you know, Pastor, what, you're going to break heaven? God's going to fall off the throne. Nope. Nope, he's not. That's why I ask him to drive every confused secretary and aide to the politicians who are so perverse, drive them out of that White House to run and flee from them. May they have no one who will be their aide. And they have to quit because no one wants to be around you because you're perverse. Pastor, I don't want anybody hurt, especially America.
Amen.
All right, President Trump talking the other day.
More of our babies.
Saying if there is an America by time these fools are done. Pastor, yeah, I want some ice. Don't call anybody a fool. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. If you said there's no God, I can call you a fool because you just publicly told everybody there is no God. You seem a little punchy tonight. No, I'm the same punchy every night. We're going to get to heaven and God's going to say, you see all this? You had it, your availability? And you never asked me for anybody because you were trying to be humble, meek, and mild or something. No, asking for the world and challenge him. Watch what he does. Whew. No work of God changes as it becomes manifest. His supernatural sovereignty is where he shows his glory. Amen, 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 amen. Well, I am going to get off on that subject right now because we got a long ways to go tonight and a short time to get there, but I am determined I'm going to get there in Jesus' mighty name. Now, if you think I was just too hard on the politicians, then, all right, then be my balance for me on that and coddle those stupid little things. They know what they're doing. They did it on purpose. They're selling us down the river. Nope, not on my watch. Ain't happening. And I'm asking for the exceeding abundantly above all we can ask or think. May the White House be filled with angels singing the glory of God.
Amen.
Amen. And may they run out the door because they can't handle a mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never changing. May the halls ring with, and he shall reign forever and ever and ever. He said to us in this program one night That is my house. That's why it's called white. I will have my name lifted in my house. Do it, Jesus, do it. May every perverse, reprobate politician run in fear of the mighty body of Christ, the people. Oh, Jesus, help me. I'm turning the corner right now. Turning the corner right now. I want you to open up your Bibles tonight. Remember, we have been studying this and studying the word possessions. Or no, not the word possession. We've been reading about the possessions of many of the men of old. And, you know, the more we looked at it, the more we realized God has abundantly blessed these men. Well, that's what he said he was going to do. That's what he said he wants to do for you and me. He wants to remove it all. He wants there to be that blessedness on our lives so that all the nations of the world will see the glory of God on the inside of that, on the inside of us. That's not just his glory and his righteousness. His glory and righteousness then moves over into all the other aspects of our life and produces the same level of glory. We're going to look at that again, but I want us to go back again to our original verses we were in, Genesis chapter 12. These are our foundation verses, Genesis chapter 12 and Genesis chapter 15. Now, I'm going to keep hitting these verses. Wow. Thank you for saying it, Sunday. Somebody should have said it a while ago. Don't let me go this long because I have clicked off the video. Yeah. So I'm just going to pause for a second. Anytime that happens, make sure you say, Pastor, we can't see you. Because I need to have you do that. What ends up happening is when I'm up moving around during the pledge, I like to turn the camera off so that it makes a clean video. And then as soon as I open an app, it covers up the little icon that says the video's off and I forget. So anytime you see a black screen and I'm talking outside of the confession, always feel free to say, hey, Pastor, your camera's not on. And I welcome that, just so everybody knows. Here we go. Hold your Bible up. We'll make our confession. This is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
I believe what God's word says.
I believe what God's word says.
I am what Jesus said I am.
I am what Jesus says I am.
Because he is the great I am.
Because he is the great I am.
The Holy Spirit of God.
The Holy Spirit of God.
My resident teacher.
My resident teacher.
Is working, is making his word come alive.
Is making his word come alive.
In my life tonight.
In my life tonight.
I receive the word of God.
I receive the word of God.
And plant him as a seed.
And plant him as a seed.
In the good soil of my heart.
In the good soil of
producing
my heart.
A hundredfold return.
Producing a hundredfold return.
In my spirit, soul, and body.
In my spirit, soul, and body.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen.
And amen and amen. Here we go. Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 5. Now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curses you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Now, watch this. Abraham went to Sarah between verses 3 and 4 and said, Sarah, love, we got to go. I don't have a brochure. I don't have any hotels reserved. And I don't know what the restaurants are like. But God said, get up and move. Mm-hmm. Pack the house. We're leaving in the morning.
Wow, can you imagine?
Verse 4. Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken to him. And Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Verse 5. Abram took Sarai, his wife, Lot, his brother, and all their possessions. Why is that in the Bible? Because there must have been a lot of possessions that they had gathered and the people whom they had acquired in Haran. And they departed to go to the land of Canaan, so they came to the land of Canaan. And, of course, then here comes Abram is down in Egypt, and the Egyptian king takes his wife. And he trusted Abraham well for her sake, treated her well, and gave him sheep and oxen, male donkeys, male and female servants, female camels and donkeys. I'm in verse 17. But the Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house with great Sarah's wife. Why? Because God said, I'm going to curse those who curse you. And I'm going to bless those who bless you. I'm on my end, and it's on over here, so not sure what that is. Verse chapter 13. Abram went up from Egypt, he and his wife, all he had. Look at verse 2. And he was very rich in livestock, in silver, and in gold. Why did the Holy Spirit decide to put that in the Bible? There is a reason why he decided to put it in the Bible. All right? And now let's keep reading. We're going to verse chapter 15. Verse 1, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision, saying, do not be afraid, Abraham. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward. Exceedingly great reward. Well, what is a reward for? A reward is because you did something. You don't get a reward unless you've done something. And so God said to Abraham, you've done something. And I'm going to give you an exceeding great reward. Well, I like rewards. I don't know about you. You might be humble, meek, and mild, but I'm like, Jesus, give me a reward. I want to be rewarded. I always wanted to make my dad happy. I love to reward my own kids. And they like to be rewarded, I guarantee you. Let's go down to 26:14. This is the story of Isaac. Let's go to 12 through 14. Genesis 26, 12 through 14. Isaac sowed in the land, reaped in the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him. The man began to prosper and continued prospering until he became very prosperous. For he had possessions of flock, possessions of herd, and a great number of servants, so the Philistines envied him. We can tell that there's something about God. He likes these boys being blessed. Think about it. Isaac got all of the abundance of Abraham when Abraham got old. Isaac was blessed himself till the Philistines envied him. Is anybody envying you because you're so blessed? Say it with me. Bless me, Lord.
Bless me, Lord.
Bless my stocks off, Lord. And help me buy some new ones and some new boots to put over them. Well, then last night, we studied a bunch more. And we gave ourselves to looking at a confession that we made last night, where you can speak a confession with us about verses. and everything that God is going to do in our life. We said that today at the noontime on the Zoom broadcast. And we talked about Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, and even talked about Job. Now, why was God so determined that everyone would know about the abundance of it? Because he wants us abundantly blessed. Why did God take so much time to talk about the children of Israel plundering Egypt? Because he wants the world to know. And when I tell you that belongs to my kids, you better let go of it, because it no longer belongs to you. Now watch this. Go with me tonight on another story of great abundance.
All right.
Are you ready?
We're ready.
Say it with me. Let's say it with Mary. Bless me with understanding, Lord.
Bless me with understanding, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Why? Because revelation is the thing you need the most. You don't need a million. You need a revelation, because revelation not only produces a million, it produces a happy life. And it's not greed. It's God's blessing. It's called growth. With me tonight, we're going to study David's mighty men, and the men of valor that were around David. And we're going to study his life backwards. We're going to start at the point where he's king and then go back to where he's not king. Ready? First Chronicles chapter 28, verse number 1. Somebody shout, I love the word.
I love the word.
I love the word. First Chronicles chapter 28. I have given you the wrong reference.
Yeah, where did Roger go? Did he say he was taken off any place? Maybe he got a phone call or something and had to...
Here we go. First Chronicles 28. It is the right verse. Verse number 1. And verse 2. Now David assembled at Jerusalem all the leaders of Israel, the officers of the tribes, the captains of the divisions who served the king, the captains over thousands, captains over hundreds, and the stewards over all the substance and possessions of the king, his sons, with the officials, the valiant men, and all the mighty men of valor. Interesting group of people. But notice that David put a steward over all the substance and possession that he had, his sons had, the officials had, the valiant men had, and the mighty men of valor.
That was a serious treasurer's job.
Well, that's interesting, Pastor. Yep. Then King David rose to his feet and said, hear me, my brethren and my people. I had it in my heart to build a house of rest for the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord and for the footstool of God, and had made preparations to build it. Well, sorry, I got to get another one. I got to go clear through 4. But God said to me, you shall not build a house for my name, because you've been a man of war and have shed blood. However, the Lord God of Israel chose me above all the house of my father to be king over Israel forever, for he has chosen Judah to be the ruler. And of the house of Judah, the house of my father, and among the sons of my father, he was pleased with me to make me king over all Israel. So tonight we're going to study David and his mighty men of valor and see who these men are. Because obviously, whoever they were men of great possessions. Mm-hmm. because David had to put a steward over them all. Now let's go backwards. Are you ready? Jesus is the son of David, yes. Jesus is heir of David. First Chronicles 10. As long as there is time on earth, David's tribe, which is Judah, will always reign. And Jesus is called the Lion of the tribe of Judah.
From.
Means he's a descendant of.
Oh, yeah.
Here we go. First Chronicles chapter 10. This is verse number 10 through 47. Now just listen. I just want all y'all to just listen and give yourself a good hearing spot right now and listen to what God has to say about these mighty men of valor and the mighty men that David had in his life.
What is going on here?
And I'm going to record it. This is 1 Chronicles chapter 11, verses 10 through 47. The mighty men of David. Now, these are the heads of the mighty men whom David had, who strengthened themselves with him in his kingdom, with all Israel, to make him king according to the word of the Lord concerning Israel. Notice that they didn't just make David king of their own free will. It was according to the word of the Lord. And this is the number of the mighty men whom David had. Jashobeam, the son of the Hechmonite, chief of the captains. He had lifted up his spear against 300 men, 300 killed by him at one time. That's a mighty man. After him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo, the Ahoite, who was one of the three mighty men. So we can see David's got three mighty men that were closest to him. One of them was the son of Dodo. So even if your dad's got a funny name, you can still turn out mighty.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 13. He was with David at Pasdamim. Now there the Philistines were gathered for battle, and there was a piece of ground full of barley. So the people fled from the Philistines, but they stationed themselves in the middle of that field, defended it and killed the Philistines. So the Lord wrought about a great victory. Now three of the 30 chief men went down to the rock to David into the cave of Adullam. And the army of the Philistines encamped in the valley of Rephaim. David was then in the stronghold, and the garrison of the Philistines was then in Bethlehem. And David said with longing, "Oh, that someone would give me a drink of water from the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate." So the three men broke through the camp of the Philistines, drew water from the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate, and took it and brought it to David. Nevertheless, David would not drink it, but poured it out to the Lord. Isn't that something? 19. And he said, "Far be it from me, O my God, that I should do this. Shall I drink the blood of these men who have put their lives in jeopardy? For at the risk of their lives they brought it. Therefore he would not drink it." These things were done by the three mighty men. Get the picture of what just happened. The Philistines have the whole city guarded, and the whole army can't take them off of guarding. But three men broke through, went to the most protected position of any military stronghold
and that's the well. And they drew water out of the well and brought it back to David to drink. How many think these are some mighty men? Mighty, mighty men. Abishai, the brother of Joab, was chief among the three, of another three. He had lifted up his spear against 300 men, killed them, and won a name among these three. Of the three, he was more honored than the other two. Therefore, he became their captain. However, he did not attain to the first three. Isn't that something? These were some men. Look at what these guys did. Benaiah was the son of Jehoiada, the son of a valiant man from Kabzeel, who had done many deeds. He had killed two lion-like heroes of Moab. He also had gone down and killed a lion in the midst of a pit on a snowy day. These are not African lions that these people are killing. These are mountain lions. And he did it in a pit on a snowy day. You ready? He killed an Egyptian, a man of great height, 5 feet tall. In the Egyptian's hand was a spear like a weaver's beam. He went down to him with a staff, wrested the spear out of the Egyptian's hand, and killed him with his own spear. Well, David killed a giant. Why can't I? Do you see the resemblance? I'm going to be like my master David and kill this giant man. Then these things Benaiah, son of Jehoiada, did and won a name among three mighty men. Indeed, he was more honored than the 30, but he did not attain to the first three. Isn't it something how God is having all of this written in his Bible? Why did God put all of this in there? Except that he wants us to know it. Verse 26, the mighty warriors were Asahel, the brother of Joab, Elhanan, the son of Dodo, Shammah, the Hararite, Elaz, the Pelonite, Ira, the son of Ikesh, the Tekoite, Abiezer, the Atholite, Sabachi, the Hushathite, Eli, the Ehoite, Maharai, the Nephophatite. Heled, the son of Benina, and the Nechophrite, and all them other Jose tacos down through here. I'm not going to take time to read all them Jose taco names because that's a whole bunch of reading. But what am I showing you? What is the Holy Spirit showing us tonight? Say this with me. These are the mighty men.
These are the mighty men.
That David had. Now, let's go back to 2 Samuel, verse chapter 23. Here's another story about David's mighty men. This is verses 8 through 39. Samuel 23, 8 through 39. And just stick with me. The Holy Spirit is saying something very, very, very specific to us. Remember, we started out with David being king, his mighty men around him, and having to create a steward to take care of everybody's stuff. Why? To the victor goes the spoil. If you're not winning any battles, you're not having any spoil. God wants to give you spoil for winning victories. But if you don't ever ask God to do something mighty, then you're going to sit around with nothing. And he wants you abundantly blessed. Yeah, but Pastor, you're sticking with that spirit of poverty. Get rid of the impoverished spirit in your life. Don't stay there. Now watch. Ready? We're going to read some more. Oh, you're going to work like you're supposed to. Isn't that something? Everybody pause. Names of the mighty men with David. Shebath, the Tekonite. Chief among the captain. He was called Adino, the Esnite. because he killed 800 men at one time. 800 men. After him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo, the Ahite, one of the three mighty men with David. They defied the Philistines, who were gathered for battle, and the men of Israel had retreated. He arose and attacked the Philistines until his hand was weary and his hand stuck to the sword. The Lord brought about a great victory that day, and the people returned after him only to plunder. After him was Shammah, the son of Agi, the Hararite. The Philistines had gathered together into a troop where there was a piece of ground full of lentils. So the people fled from the Philistines. He stationed himself in the middle of the field and defended it, and killed any Philistines who sought to take his bean field away from him. I'm fighting for lentils. I like them myself. 13. Three of the 30 men went down at harvest time and came to David at the cave of Adullam. The troop of the Philistines camped in the valley of Rephaim. David was in the stronghold of the garrison that was then in Bethlehem. And then he said, I would like to have a drink. And they went and got the drink for him. Now, let's go down to verse 18. Now, Abishai, the brother of Joab, the son of Zeruiah, was chief of another three. He lifted his spear against 300 men, killed them, and won a name among these three. Was he not the most honored of the three? Therefore, he became their captain. However, he did not attain to the first three. Did you notice it said the same thing in the book of Chronicles? Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, son of a valiant man from Kabzeel. He did many mighty things. He killed two lion-like heroes of Moab. And see, what we got to do, guys, is we got to see this, that these men were mighty men of God, and they were so mighty that God blessed their stocks off them in abundance. Why does God talk about all the abundance in the Bible except for the fact that he wants you and I to have abundance? There's a reason why he's doing it. And now, before we go to our next verse, I want you to go with me to Deuteronomy chapter 8.
All right.
Deuteronomy chapter 8. Now, you might be like, Pastor, why are we even studying this? Can't we get back to, like, you know, justification or regeneration or something? No, because if we walk around with a poverty spirit on our life, we're never going to get anything done for God. Because poverty is a demon. It is run by a demon. When you're bound by it, you're bound by a demonic spirit. Are you saying I'm demon-possessed, Pastor? Yeah, I am. What are you going to do about it? No. I bind the devil in your life, and I say you get out in every part of my life. Say it. Debt, get out of my life. Poverty, get out of my life. Confusion, get out of my life. Financial fear, get out of my life. Father, bless my life abundantly beyond anything I've ever been blessed. Amen. I give you permission to bless me abundantly. And I will use it for your kingdom.
Well, and when you think about the money in this world is either going to be in the hands of the righteous or in the hands of the wicked.
Yep.
So where do you want it?
Yep.
What do you want to be doing with it?
And I like what she just said. In this world, the money is either going to be in the hand of the righteous or the hand of the wicked. Which one do you want it in? If we let us in wicked, they're going to do wicked. Wait. And they're going to create an island where they take small children and do perverse, vile, reprobate things to them. Yep. That's what perverse men who have money do. But you know what righteous men who have money do?
Sink the stinking island.
They sink the stinking island. All right. That's a good idea. They build the Oral Roberts Medical Facility that is one of the most state-of-the-art of the whole world. They build large gathering places for people to come and be trained and be delivered and set free.
Amen.
People like Metal Lark Lemon with the Dream Center and all that he did. George Washington Carver. Who's the other one that the peanut guy? Anyway, it's coming.
Like Rebecca that want to go all over the world and dig wells.
And drill wells, yes. You see, we can say, well, money, you know, money is dirty, Pastor. No, only money that's dirty is when it's in the hands of dirty men. When it's in the hands of righteous men who do righteous things, then the money is clean. Money is amoral.
Amen.
Just because you're rich, you don't have to be filthy rich. You can be godly rich.
Amen.
You can be godly rich. We have great men in our day who are proof of being godly rich. Now watch this. Deuteronomy 8, and I'm going to go to verse 6 through 13. Therefore, you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God to walk in his ways and to fear him. For the Lord your God is bringing you to a good land, a land of brooks, of water, fountains, springs that flow out of valleys and hills. A land of wheat, barley, vines, fig trees, pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey. A land in which you will get You will eat your bread without scarcity, in which you'll lack nothing, in which you will 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 have everything, in which you will lack nothing.
Amen.
Nothing. You want to go to the Gulf in the middle of the winter where it's warm? You'll be able to go because you won't have any lack. A land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills you can dig copper. When you have eaten and are full, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you. Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his judgments, his statutes, which I command you today. Just when you have eaten and are full and have built beautiful houses and dwell in them, beautiful houses and dwell in them, when you have built beautiful houses. That's more than one. Mm-hmm. And dwell in them. And when your herds and flocks multiply, and your silver and gold are multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, why do you think God used the word multiplied so many times in one chapter? Because our God is a multiplying God.
Amen.
Verse 18. You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he swore to your fathers, as it were, this day. Everybody read it right out loud with me. And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers, as it is this day. Why did God put this in the Bible so much? Because he wants you to help him establish his covenant in the earth.
Amen.
You know what would be greater than having the Rothschilds family? Would be having the Cottle family. Why?
Family.
Because we would be honest.
Amen.
Yep. See, the money, if it's in the hands of the wicked, they become perverse, wicked. And then they make rules of perversity and wickedness. And then they outlaw the righteousness.
The righteous, yeah.
And they take our money away from us. Well, they try. And when they mess with us, God says, touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm. And he says in the book of Psalms that he rebuked kings for their sake. Rebuke them, Lord. Rebuke these wicked people that think they are our kings.
Amen.
Now, 1 Samuel 22. Let's find out who these mighty men were at the beginning of their life. Now, naturally, in chapter 22, David is not king. David is running from Saul, who has now tried to kill him three times. And he's married to the king's daughter. But Saul got jealous of David because he was such a mighty warrior. And of course, now Saul jealous of David, and Saul's the king. So he would say, call that young harpist in here. Have him play for me. My demons are troubling me. Why did the demons trouble him? Because when God said, wipe out Amalek, he kept him alive. And he lost his kingdom. And he knew David was crowned in his place as king, anointed in his place as king. Well, David's on the run. 1 Samuel 22, verse 1, and we'll go down through verse 5. David therefore departed from there and escaped to the cave of Adullam, or Adullam, however you say it. So when his brothers and all his father's house heard it, they went down there to him. Wait, let's back up, hit this verse again. David is running for his life. And he departed and escaped to the cave of Adullam. Say it with me. David is running for his life.
David is running for his life.
But look what happens. So when his brothers and all his father's house heard it, they went down to him. They're coming in the cave. Hey, David.
Hey, David. David, are you in here?
What do you think David's going to do? Who in the world is yelling at me in this cave? And then he's like, that sounds like my dad. And he's looking around the corner out there. And he turns his mag light on.
Hey, David. David, it's your dad. David, we know you're in here.
David's hiding for his life. Verse 2. Look at this verse. And everyone who was in distress, everyone who was in debt, everyone who was discontented, gathered to him.
The innocent flee the wicked. So
he became captain over them. And there were about 400 men with him.
How big is your cave, David?
In debt, discontented, and in distress. This is the same 400 men that's in 1 Chronicles chapter 11, verse 10. They didn't start out as mighty warriors. They didn't start out with big, abundant inheritances from their family. They found David in a cave running for his life, and they were in debt. They were in distress. They were discontented themselves, and they said, hey, Dave, how about you be a captain over us? And he's like, how many of there are you here today? Hey, Job, anybody get a call? David's like, would you just shut up? I'm trying to hide. Wait. I want you to get this picture, what's going on here. Because you might look at us and say, well, what do we have to offer, Pastor? We have the same thing to offer that we offered the first day we started. How many days was it? 709 days ago we started this. 709 days ago, I haven't missed a day. Are you kidding? My dad went to heaven. Her brother went to heaven. We didn't miss a day here at this ministry. How many trips back and forth to Michigan? And we haven't missed a day. Why? Because of the supernatural empowerment of Almighty God. And because you people are people of faith, and I'm a person of faith, and we are people of faith. And you know what that means? That means God wants to do something really big with this mighty band of warriors that we have right here.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
You want to say it with me? These are the mighty men and women of the community of faith.
Amen.
Say it. These are the mighty men and women of the community of faith. And what have we done? We've found sickness and disease. We've seen people's blessed. We've seen people get houses. We prayed and prayed for Brother Chris to get a house. Guys, he not only got it, he's home and living in it every day. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. And we are his gathering of believers. How do you like them apples? I love it. Thank you, Lord. And glory be to God. See, these people who were in distress, discontented, and in debt, by walking with God, following the leader, became mighty men of valor and were blessed so much, David had to put a steward over everybody's stuff. And when it came time to build the temple, these men were building temples. And David may have given a bunch himself, but you know these men that were with David, like, you're not giving it all, Dave. We're gonna be joining with you on this right here. And these men were so well renowned for what they had done and how they helped David.
Yeah.
I want you to go with me. Let's go. Ziklag is where I'm trying to get to. I should know this by memory. What am I just looking for? There it is. 1 Samuel chapter 30. And we got 20 minutes. We got 10 minutes here. Want you to see this. I must not be the person God want me to be yet. Oh, you're not, Mary. But you've grown by so many miles and leaps and bounds and growth spurts and growth rings that anybody around can see your growth. And there's a whole bunch of people in your community watching you grow saying, there's something different about this lady all of a sudden. There's a strength about her that isn't her mouth at the big round table in the restaurant or however you said that the other day. No, see, now you got a righteous strength to you.
Yes.
Everybody ready?
Are we reading the whole chapter?
No, I'm not going to read the whole chapter, but here we go. 1 Samuel chapter 30, David at Ziklag. Now, it happened when David and his men came to Ziklag On the third day, the Amalekites had invaded the south, and Ziklag attacked Ziklag. Ziklag attacked Ziklag, burned it with fire, and had taken captive the women and those who were there from small to great. They did not kill anyone, but carried them away and went their way. And what happened is the Philistines gave David Ziklag as a city so that he could live there while Saul's getting ready to die. His last bit of stupidity. And the Philistines said, well, if David's with us, he's not going to attack us. And so David went to battle with him. And on his way to battle, the men said, no, we don't trust him. He'll turn on us. Send him home. Well, when David went to battle with the Philistines, the Ziklag or the Amalekites saw David leave his people and went and attack him. And here's where we are. Verse 3, David and his men came to the city, and there was burned with fire, and their wives, their sons, their daughters had been taken captive. How many of you know that's a bad day?
That is a bad day.
Then David and the people who were with him lifted up their voices and wept, and they until they had no power left to weep. David's two wives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, the widow of Nabal, the Carmelite, had been taken captive. Now David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him. His mighty men said, we're going to stone you. Because the soul of the people were so grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters. But David strengthened himself in the Lord. When people are talking about stoning, you better get along with God. Amen? Verse 7, David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, please bring the ephod here to me. Abiathar brought the ephod to David. David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered them, pursue, for you shall surely overtake them and without fail recover all. Say this with me. God wants me to recover all.
Amen. God wants me to recover all.
He does.
Recovered.
Verse 9. So David went. He and the 600 men are with him. He's got another 200 that came from somewhere. Came to the brook Besor, where those who stayed were left behind. David pursued. He and 400 men for 200 stayed behind there, who were so weary they could not cross the brook Besor. Then they found an Egyptian in the field going to David, and they gave him bread, and he ate, and they let him have a drink of water. They gave him a piece of a cake of figs and two clusters of raisins. I like the sounds of that. Doesn't that sound pretty good?
Yeah.
All right. So when he had eaten, his strength came back to him, for he had eaten no bread or drunk water for 3 days and 3 nights. Then David said to him, to whom do you belong and where are you from? He said, I'm a young man from Egypt, servant of an Amalekite, that one guy. And my master left me behind because 3 days ago I felt sick. We made an invasion of the southern area, the Cherethites, and the territory which belongs to Judah, and of the southern of the area of Caleb, and we burned Ziklag with fire. And David said, do you want to live or do you want to die? Can you take me down to this troop? He said, swear to me by God that you will neither kill me nor deliver me into the hands of my master, and I'll take you down to the troop and anywhere else you want to go. Down there, they were spread out all over the land, eating and drinking and dancing because of all the great spoil which they had taken from the land of the Philistines and from the land of Judah. Now remember, they had not only attacked Ziklag, David's city, they had attacked all of Caleb's people in Judah and pillaged those cities. I'm in 17. Then David attacked them from twilight until evening on the next day. Not a man of them escaped except 400 young men who rode on camels and fled. So David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away, and David rescued his two wives. Nothing of theirs was lacking. Either small or great, sons or daughters, spoil or anything they had taken from them. David recovered all. Isn't that exactly what God said he would do?
Amen.
Well, God said, you are not going to be blood coming in and going out, rising up, laying down in our labor, in our leisure, in the city, in the field, and everything we put our hand to. Unless, of course, we walk around and say, well, I don't know. I'm just broke, busted, and disgusted. Because you're going to get what you say. Verse 20. Then David took all the flocks and herd that had driven before these other livestock and said, this is David's spoil. Now David took the 200 men who had been so weary They could not follow David when they also made him stay at the brook Besor. They went to meet David and meet the people who were with him. When David came near the people, he greeted them. All the wicked and worthless men of those who went with David answered and said, "They did not go with us. We will not give them any of the spoil that we have recovered, except every man, his wife, and children, that they may lead them away and depart." David said, "My brethren, you shall not do so. With what the Lord has given us, who has preserved us and delivered us into our hand, the troop that came against us, who will heed you in this matter? But as his part is, who goes down to the battle, so shall be his part, who stays by the supplies. They shall share alike." So it was from that day forward, he made it a statute, an ordinance for Israel to this day. 26. When David came to Ziklag, he sent some of the spoil to the elders of Judah, to his friends, saying, "Here is a present for you from the spoil of the enemies of the Lord, to those who were in Bethel, those in Ramah, those in the south, those in Jeter, those in Aroror, those in Sithma, Eshtemoah, and Rachel, and the Jerahmeelites, and Kenites, the Horamites, and Chorash, and Hathak, and Hebron." What did David do? He returned all to those villages that it had been taken from. Maybe you and I are supposed to be plundering the wealthy, wicked, perverse, and giving it back to the communities that they've raped, pillaged, stealed, stolen, and defrauded.
Yes, and isn't it something that he actually identified the wicked and worthless men?
See, the Lord, he it is that gives you power to create wealth. Why? To establish his covenant on this earth. Wouldn't it be great if you and I could build a learning center in our communities and it be free of charge to any kid to come to and they could learn true American history and learn how to read and write and write in cursive and learn about what's really America is all about? And because you're so well loved by all the moms and dads, they shut the public school building down. And we tell the government, "You give us our tax money back that goes for school because you're not making anything of our children. Yeah. Quit trying to educate our kids. Just make sure our nation is safe and secure."
Amen.
But see, if we say, "Well, it's public school. That's, you know, that's just the way it is." I'm going to tell you right now, they'll pervert your kids and they're turning them into these people that are so confused they can't even tell whether they're a man or a woman. Deuteronomy 8:18. The Lord, he it is that gives you power to create wealth. Why? To establish his covenant on this earth. And like we're seeing tonight right here, in this lesson this evening, God takes people who are in distress, in debt, discontented, and he turns them into mighty men of valor, who a small band of 400 can take on whole armies, feed them, because they go in the power and in the name of Almighty God. Does God want you to be a rich billionaire and act like all the other fool billionaires in the world? No. 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 I learned something from God about a year and a half ago. And that is this. Billionaire is not about a financial status that you reach. Now watch. Everybody listen to this. It's not a point you reach for to say, "Well, I'm a billionaire. Aren't you impressed with me?" No, it's a socioeconomic influence realm where you influence whole segments of society for good and for right and for justice and for peace. And you take your billions and you move in, like Brother Peter Daniels down there in Australia, who bankrolled Youth for Christ out of his own personal pocketbook for 25 years all over Asia. Personally, he did it. His town is Adelaide, or however you say it, Adelaide, Australia, or whatever it is. And they had such a horrible pornography prostitution brothel problem in the city that he took it on with his own money and single-handedly paid to have it squashed in his city. One man, one Christian man has said, no, fill my pockets with money. I'll crush your enemies everywhere. And today, he has gold on coins that are minted, printed, with the face of the apostles on it. And he's one of the most righteous men of the world. He's the man that came to America and said, I have an assignment by God. It's called the Gabriel Call. I have been assigned by God to build 1,000 millionaires in the churches of America so that local churches will have all they need to take care of their pastor and their community. An Australian who came to America to build millionaires in the church and establish the name of God. He gave them access to all of his vast wealth and understanding and said to them, and if you're no longer a tither, I will no longer have you, because this is the local church and that is your pastor. And you will remain where you belong. See, what we've been taught by the news media, because we listen to them mock preachers, there's bad preachers, and there's wicked ones. Brother Hagin was a righteous one. Lester Summerall was a righteous one. John Osteen was a righteous one. Oral Roberts was a righteous one. Frederick K.C. Price was a righteous one. John Hagee was a righteous one. See, guys, if we're not careful, we'll be like, oh, Lord, go wipe out all those wicked people. And he'll say, why don't you go help them? I need you to do it. I can't do anything, sir. I'm broke. I don't have any money to do anything. And he's going to say, then stop being broke.
Amen.
And open up my Bible and find out why I put those verses in there. Why did the Holy Spirit inspire the writing of 1st and 2nd Samuel, 1st and 2nd Kings, 1st and 2nd Chronicles? Why is the inspiration there to tell us about David's mighty men of valor and the fact that they were so rich they had to have a steward keep track of all their stuff? Because he wants you to know it. And he wants you to see it. And he wants you to be like it. He wants you to. Yeah. You know, if we own the grocery stores, they can't stop us from having food. Hello? You know, if Christians own the trucking company, they can't stop us from driving our truck. Do you know that if... Do you know that if Christians are the number one lead of all police forces and the number one generals in the nation, nobody can stop us? Do you know if we vote in, if we have righteous Supreme Court justices, we will have unanimous decisions for righteousness?
Yes.
And all of that is on the back of the believers. Why don't we have mighty righteous men like David and his 400 righteous men that fill the halls of Congress?
Amen.
Because the Christian had sat down and said, well, I just have a vote. It really doesn't matter. I'm not even voting this time. And then you vote by your non-vote.
Yeah. Amen.
God gave us this system. Quit fighting it. God wants you blessed. Quit fighting him. The Lord, he it is that gives you power to get wealth. I got one more verse. Should we get it or should I be done?
Get it.
Get it. I was just told to get it. So here we go. Look at this. I got two more sets of verses, but we'll get them done in 5 minutes. Ready? Everybody watch the clock. Luke chapter 12, 13 to 21. Luke chapter 12, 13 to 21. Then one of the crowd came to him and said, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Jesus said, "Who made me your judge or the arbitrator over you?" He said to them, "Take heed and beware of covetousness." Beware of covetousness. God don't care if you're rich. He wants you rich. He doesn't want you to be covetous. One's life does not consist in the abundance of things he possesses. But God needs 50 billionaire men of God right now so that they're influencing that socioeconomic level. Yeah. Are you willing to be one of them?
Yes.
Yes. All he wants is you and I to be righteous. And then to take our influence into our realms, whatever that is, and begin to influence it for God. If you're a billionaire and you're watching tonight, matter of fact, Father told me the other night there is a billionaire watching. I can help you see how to make this happen, sir. Because I've been praying for you for about 5 years now. Yep. Not by name, because I don't know it yet. But I've been very specifically praying for you because God told me he was coming. Yep, get with me. Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47. Amen. There it is. He'll rain money on your thick heads if you protect his people. Amen, Jason. That's awesome.
Amen.
Acts 2, 42 to 47. Come on, come on. I got to go. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in the fellowship and the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. All who believed were together, had all things in common, sold their possessions and goods, divided them among everyone, and no one had any need. Oh, wait, I read that wrong. Among all is anyone in need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. I don't remember the name of the church, but for quite a while, there was a church in Tennessee that as soon as you were a part of their church, in 6 months, you were out of debt. God gave the pastor a plan that no matter who came to the place, in 6 months, you'd be out of debt and you would help the next group of people who came. Bless you, Jason. What are you telling this, Pastor? It seems like way off from where we are. No, this is right on from where we are. Because every time I preach this, I crush every demon that says, you're not going to make it. In my life and in your life. And guess what? You can't deny this is in the Bible. Who would want to? Who wants to be broke? Who wants to barely exist? Nope. Nope. We're the restraining force on this earth. Not Google. We're the restraining force on this earth. Not Amazon. Quit giving them people your money. Let's see God turn it over into our hands. No. Sitting here preaching after I made my recording and I was trying to make it short so I could give it again. And the Lord, he it is that gives you power to create wealth. Some of you are saying, Pastor, what kind of wealth could I create? It's a good message and everything, but whatever. Don't do that. Don't do that. Begin to say, here am I, Lord. Send me. Wake me up in the middle of the night and tell me something. I'm telling you, it ain't going to be long, and they're going to be saying about the community of faith, the mighty men and women of the community of faith. Well, they're actually,
amen.
They're actually already saying that because we're mighty young. We just got to get ourselves in the right place with God where we are right here, right now. And I got a word for you. It's called unstoppable. It's called unstoppable. I know what I'm asking for, but I don't hesitate. About 3 years ago, I heard the Father say, ask me for the exceeding abundantly above. And I said, well, I'll ask you. I'm not afraid. And I've never been afraid to say, all right, well, then do it. Matter of fact, the moment he asked me that, I increased the things I was asking about tenfold immediately. And since then, I've asked him for more. I picked up an angel one day, riding in the lift car with me. The man began to prophesy me while he was sitting in the car. I let him out. I'm like, you're an angel, dude. He's like, no, I'm going to work right here. Never stopped saying what he said to me in that car that day, and it's huge. Why? Because it's what God wants to do. See, poverty makes you kill your dream. Poverty makes you think small. It's a spirit. It's a demonic spirit.
Yep.
It impoverishes your soul. It impoverishes your mind. It's a demonic spirit. And we bind it in Jesus' mighty name. And then we fill you with the abundance of all of Jesus' love and grace and mercy. And all of the power of the Holy Spirit. And the Father himself even comes to live on the inside of you. And we teach you that you are filled with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit right here because it is what's going on in Jesus' body.
Amen.
Well, 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 let's pray or something. Father, in Jesus' name, we're starting to figure out, sir, why you put those words in your book. Starting to figure out why. Thank you that you never ask a priest ever to take a vow of poverty.
Amen.
That has never been your plan. That has never been you. That is only man trying to control men. Thank you, Lord, that everyone, your words, everyone who gives up father, mother, sister, brother, houses and lands for your sake and the gospel will receive in this lifetime 100-fold return and eternal life. Thank you. I didn't say it. And that means everyone who's ever given it all up for you, there was 100-fold waiting for them, and they probably didn't know it, but it was stored up in heaven for them to look up and say, God, I need your help. And bam, there's the help. Because you never fail your promises, even if we don't understand them. You said all of the promises of God are yes and amen. You said by the exceeding great and precious promises, we become partakers of the very divine nature of Almighty God. You said, subdue the earth and take dominion in Genesis chapter 1. And in 3 John 2, you said, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health as your soul prospers. In Revelation 1, 5, and 6, you said that Jesus, by his blood, has made us priests and kings unto our God on this earth. And you said that for everyone who receives the free gift of righteousness, that we would reign in this life with the one Jesus. Thank you. He said we have an inheritance that fades not away and is incorruptible. You said the very seed of Almighty God is living on the inside of us. We give you glory. We give you honor. And we give you the praise in the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. And amen. Did I miss anything important? I was just praying. As Sister Phyllis would say, I was preaching. I was kind of praying and preaching in my prayer. I like it. Because his word is able to make you stand. Say it. I've been made a priest and a king unto my God. And now it's time for the new covenant worship. Or I'll just start re-preaching what I've already preached. And it's good enough just like it is to let it go. And then we're going to receive communion together. And that gives us time to go and munch on this, saying, Lord, do something big inside of me and my family. You want to say it with me? Just lift your hands and say, Holy Spirit of God.
Holy Spirit of God.
I give it you and Jesus and the Father. Permission to be mighty in my life.
Permission to be mighty in my life.
In every place I go.
In every place I go.
Did you notice that Jesus didn't give you a little dab of blood? He gave you all of it. He didn't make you an heir that could shine the stuff. He made you a joint heir with Jesus. And that means what Jesus has access to, so do you. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you. That the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took the bread. And when he blessed it, he broke it. And he said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, after supper, he also took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. As often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Verse 26. For as often as you eat this bread, and as often as you drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's redemptive work until he comes. His death, his burial, his resurrection, his ascension, and now his rulers. Verse 28, let a man examine himself. So let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. Verse 31, for if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. 1 John chapter 4, verse 17, love, God's love has been perfected among us in this, that we might have boldness in the day of judgment. Why? Because as he, Jesus, is, so are we in this world. He's the head. We're the body. Verse 18, God's perfect love cast out fear and all the torment goes with it. Because there is no fear in love. Perfect love cast out fear. Now, maybe you've never received communion before. We always have new people with us. You might say, Pastor, I've been trained that if I sinned it all throughout the week, I wasn't supposed to get near the church building anytime communion's going, so I'm going to leave. No, don't leave. That's a false doctrine. That's erroneous teaching. You can't find it in this chapter. If you're going to come to the communion table and mocking God, well, then I would stay away because you'll drink damnation to yourself. But if you're coming to God saying, I've sinned, help, then the place you got to run to is the blood and the body of Christ. Just do what Paul said. Examine yourself. The church has said, if you've sinned, stay away. Wait. The spirit, the demonic spirit of religion said, if you have sinned, stay away. You don't want to take the chance of being damned. Well, they did their work. They kept people from the very thing that would be the answer in their life. Oh, my Lord. Everybody pause for just a minute. So, if you're new to us and you've never received communion before, we're going to pray the prayer of salvation right now. What is that doing? That's examining yourself. That's receiving Jesus into your life. As soon as you receive Jesus into your life, you're very, very welcome. And it is recommended you receive communion every time it's offered. I recommend you do it every day, even at home by yourself. Pray this prayer of salvation with me, and you'll be right with God in 60 seconds, no matter who you are. I dare you. I double dog dare you. Ready? Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
I know I need you in my life every day.
I know I need you in my life every day.
In every way.
In every way.
And according to John 3:16.
And according to John 3:16.
When I believe in you.
When I believe in you.
You give me everlasting life.
You give me everlasting life.
And I will not perish.
And I will not perish.
Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God.
Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God.
And you raised from the dead triumphant.
And you raised from the dead triumphant.
Now put your hands out and just say, I receive you into my life.
I receive you into my life.
Right now.
Right now.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Forgive me of my sin.
Forgive me of my sin, Lord.
Wash me with your blood.
Wash me with your blood.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
So I live in power.
So I live in power.
Understand the word of God.
Understand the word of God.
Pray in my heavenly language.
Pray in my heavenly language.
And live a successful life.
And live a successful life.
As a believer every day.
As a believer every day.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen.
And amen. Amen. If that's your first time you prayed that prayer, welcome to the kingdom of God. This is who we are, and this is what we look like. And yes, in order to be in the kingdom, you have to own a couple Harley Davidson shirts. All right, that's a joke. Bless you, Jason. Love you. Watch this. In that prayer, you went from darkness to light. God never does something to you. He takes you from to. You went from fear to faith. Why? Because sin causes fear of death and hell. And Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith, just moved on the inside of you right now. You went from your sin, which you couldn't be, to all of Jesus' righteousness in one prayer when you said, I receive you into every part of my life. Isn't that something? Father looked over at Jesus and said, adopt him into the family. You are now an heir of God, a joint heir with Jesus, and all of the blessings and help and strength of Almighty God are yours every single day from this moment on. The Holy Spirit of God is now living on the inside of you. Check it out. Check it out. You have your own resident teacher living inside of you. It's called the Holy Spirit. And it's the same one I have. It's the same one everyone born again has, is the same Holy Spirit of God. It's just that some people don't listen to it. And we say every day, we'll take all you got.
Amen.
Now, you might say, Pastor, this all sounds amazing. It is amazing. You are literally an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus. And from this day forward, this is your assignment. This is just your first step. Your assignment is to walk with God every day and learn to hear his voice as he leads you in the paths of righteousness.
Amen.
And he'll lead you. Say this with me. Father, in Jesus' name.
Father, in Jesus' name.
Help me walk with you today.
Help me walk with you today.
Amen.
Amen.
You can pray that prayer every day. If you mean it from the depths of your heart, he will help you, and you'll begin to hear his voice talking to you all day long, everywhere you go. They put my email address and website in there so you have the ability to contact me and say, hey, Pastor, email me and just say, Pastor, I prayed the prayer today. Help me walk with God. I've got some good YouTube videos I'll send you that I made that are about your righteousness and your life as a new believer and how to walk with God. There'd be a blessing. People love them. They're great videos. It's the Holy Spirit of God teaching you how to walk with God. All of that's available to you. In any way that we can help you, we're going to help you walk with God. You ready? Let's receive our communion elements. I encourage you right now, get up, take your phone with you, go to the kitchen, get you some bread and water, bread and grape juice if you have it. That's what Jesus likes. And let's receive communion together. Pray this with me. Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
I bless and sanctify these elements.
I bless and sanctify these elements.
For this time of communion with you.
For this time of communion with you, Lord.
Jesus, you were wounded.
Jesus, you were wounded.
For my transgression.
For my transgression.
You were bruised.
You were bruised.
For my iniquity.
For my iniquity.
The chastisement for my peace.
The chastisement.
Is upon you, Lord.
Is upon you, Lord.
And by your stripes.
And by your stripes.
I am healed.
I am healed.
In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body.
In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body.
In my mind, my will, and my emotion.
In my mind, my will, and my emotion.
Nothing missing, nothing broken.
Nothing missing, nothing broken.
Every joint supplying.
Every joint supplying.
In my body.
In my body.
From your broken body, Jesus.
From your broken body, Jesus.
In the body of Christ in my community.
In the body of Christ in my community.
And right here in this community of faith.
And right here in this community of faith.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen.
And amen. Let's receive his broken body. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Now we lift up the cup of blessing, the blood of Jesus. Pray this with me. By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I have been redeemed.
I have been redeemed.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I have reconciliation.
I have reconciliation.
With you, my Father.
With you, my Father.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
Every sin.
Every sin.
Has been placed in remission in my life.
Has been placed in remission in my life.
And I thank you for it.
And I thank you for it, Lord.
Isn't that awesome?
Mm-hmm.
I'm a new creation.
I am a new creation.
Old things have passed away.
Old things have passed away.
And all things have become new.
And all things have become new.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I come boldly.
The
throne room of grace,
to the throne room of
where I find grace, mercy, and help.
Where I find grace, mercy, and help.
For my dominion mandate every day.
For my dominion mandate every
by
day.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
And the word of my testimony.
And the word of my testimony.
I overcome.
I overcome.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
And every plague.
Every plague
has to pass over my life.
Has to pass over my life.
And cannot be on me or my family.
And cannot be on me or my family.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
The accuser of the brethren is cast down.
And
there is no more condemnation.
And there's no more condemnation.
My conscience is purged.
My conscience is purged.
My robes are made white.
My robes are made white.
And I will always be.
And I will always be.
The glorious church.
The glorious church.
Without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish.
Without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish.
When you come for me.
When you come for me.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen.
Glory be to God. And in case you're wondering about my communion cup, Solo made these just for me. Because they knew I needed a portable communion cup when I'm riding on my Harley. And I can buy them in any store. Though your sins were red like scarlet, they shall be white as snow when you add the blood of Jesus to your life. Let's sing one of our songs. You want to sing? The blood that Jesus shed for me way back on Calvary. The blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never lose its power. It reaches to the highest mountain, and it flows to the lowest valley. The blood. Me strength from day to day, it will never lose its power. It reaches to the highest mountain, and it flows to the lowest valley. That gives me strength from day to day. It will never lose its power. All right, Phyllis K. Raymond, I'm missing the hint. God loves the truth. God loves the truth. The truth will set you free. Hint, hint. I don't like it when I get a hint, hint, and I miss it.
You're missing it, yeah. Gail, it's so good to see you with us.
Good to see you, Gail Blunt. Go ahead, Sunday.
No, I was just listening.
I thought maybe you was going to sing or something.
Oh,
the blood of Jesus will never lose its power. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I got your hint, hint. Amen. It's the truth. Hint, hint. I got it. I got it. Gail, it's good to see you, ma'am. We are warm, although it was 10 below today all day long.
Yeah, we're warming here.
And listen to this now. We have about 25 sparrows that are on our deck with us every day. Now watch this. Today, I put a bowl of water out for them to have a drink. Because when it's cold, everything's froze. So they have to eat snow. And one of those crazy sparrows at 10 below zero jumped in that thing and took a bath. And he spent 5 minutes pecking the ice off his feathers after he did it. It was the most...
His little toes.
It's like, oh, my goodness. I don't know if that's what your mama taught you to do or not. But, you know... He seemed to be able to fly away, so.
He did. I wanted to bring him in, but every time we got near the door, he would take off.
You know, Sister Francetta tells us about her favorite song, His Eye Is on the Sparrow. And
mine, too.
I know. And,
is it? Yeah.
And we sit here and we watch these little guys, how that little tiny body can sit on this deck in the snow at 15, 20 below zero with a 20-mile-an-hour wind, and they just ruffle down in there, and it's like, how does that little body stay warm enough to live here? It's not like they're hiding in a dumpster. They're out here on our deck.
Well, we do have a big tree on our deck for them, but still, how warm is that to get a tree when it's so below?
Hey, Phyllis, I'm not joking about Solo too much. Okay, they didn't make the cup just for me, but I think they did.
You need to say so.
Yeah, okay. I don't want anybody thinking I'm lying. No, they did not call me and say, hey, Pastor Sam, can we make a communion cup for me? And they did. I just walked in one day. I'm like, look at that communion cup right there.
And it is the perfect communion
cup. And you can buy them anywhere in any store, and it's perfect. And I've used it at truck stops. I've used it with a bunch of bikers. I've used it all over because I like taking communion because so did Jesus. Thank you, Phyllis. You're such a blessing to us.
You are.
Now, another good word tonight. And tomorrow at noon prayer time, I'll let you know what's happening on our end of the world at that time. But we have given you that prayer confession to make over the finances of everybody in the community of faith. And what I'd like to do is pull people together for that from that point of view. We'll let you know in the morning where we're at on whether or not that's going to happen. Watch the family thread. Mm-hmm. All right. We got some things in the works, and we're just working them. So stick with us. Keep believing God, speaking the wonderful things from God.
Amen.
Every single day. Amen. In Jesus' mighty name. If you did not get that confession about finances and you'd like it, let us know. We can get it sent over to you. It's a really good one. It's one that God gave Sister Leanne and I. We didn't copy it out of a book. We just went before God, and he said, put these verses in. And so we did. In Jesus' mighty name. All right. That's what we got.
I'm going to say good night.
Good night to you, Sunday.
They love you.
All right.
Thank you for being with us.
And now, Sister Phyllis, I'm going to read the closing verses tonight. Sister Phyllis is on the other side. I'm going to go back and get Jude verses 20 through 25. But you, beloved, building up yourselves in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keeping yourself in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. On some having compassion, making a distinction, others with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh. Now unto him who is able to keep you from stumbling, to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen.
Amen.
And amen.
Amen.
In Jesus' mighty name. First book of the Bible says, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. And the last verse of the Bible says, and may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.
With you all.
Amen.
Amen.
And amen. All right, I'll send it over. If you don't get it from me, Gail, yet tonight, make sure you remind me tomorrow, because they've really been messing with our Facebook and Messenger. And that's where I'll send it, is through Messenger. So if you don't get it, make sure you remind me, because we may have to send it again. All right, here we go. So we see you again. We always say, we love you.
We love you.
And God loves you. And
Jesus is Lord.
We came on by, huh?
All right. Blog Talk Radio, we sure do love you. We'll see you again real soon.